Morning. You hear me well? Okay. good to see you again. Let's pray. May the Holy Spirit bless the teaching and preaching of this hour to the creation and nourishment of saving faith. It was quite hard for me write this message because I noticed that this kind of message is not really much preached because makes people feel uncomfortable. So I prayed about it, and apparently the Lord wants me to make people feel uncomfortable. I'm going to read a verse from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Now, I thought a lot about this verse, and I thought about just existing is not the same as truly living. Lacking a purpose or relevance to other people is a kind of non-existence. I know people that they have lived their lives like that. It's like a spiritual death. Closeness is the solution. Now, our Lord says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. But he who does the will of my Father. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Genesis 6, 9, we read, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. I don't know if you know about this, but I've been doing at a Bible study the book of Job. If you're going through a trial right now, the book of Job will give you a glimpse behind the scenes of your pain and show you that God is at work, even in your suffering. However, as we go through the book of Job, we realize that Job had a warped view of God, and God had a good reason to allow that happen to Job. Job has a deep and important message for believers today. I want to mention 3 points here. The first point is that just being a good person and doing good works doesn't mean someone is doing the will of God. There are a lot of good people that they do a lot of good things. And if we look at them, they sometimes do better stuff than we do, but they don't know God. So, just being a good person and doing good works doesn't mean someone is doing the will of God. You can live a good life and still completely miss the point of the gospel. In Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Even those people who do a lot of good things. In Job 1:1, we read in the land of Oz, it says, whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So we read that Job was a believer. He was not just doing good stuff, but he was a believer. Now, I'm not saying that Job was doing, what Job was doing was bad. He was obviously doing good things. We need to look past the action and look at the motive. Job wants to follow God, but he thinks it is all about what he does to earn God's grace and blessings. It is about Job trying to appease God with works and sacrifices. You can't buy your way into heaven. It is all grace, period. Abraham understood and walked with God by faith. According to Romans 4:3, Job is trying to earn it by works, not by faith. When Job lost all his wealth, children, and all he had, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1:21. You notice, he doesn't talk to God. He talks of God. He doesn't say, "God, you gave me and you took away." He doesn't address God. He talks of God and he talks about God. Any of us talk about God and talk of God, but we never talk to God. This seems like a good moral thing to say. My line of thought would be like Jesus. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You can read that in Mark 15, verse 34. Jesus talks to God. My reaction would be like King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20. He cried out to God for deliverance and wept bitterly. Or Jeremiah in Lamentation crying out to God. It would be very hard for me to say the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It would be very hard for me not to talk to God and only talk about him. Job doesn't address God. He talks of God. He doesn't say to God, "You give and you take away, but I will bless your name." If he walks with God, why not talk to him? Job's way of thought is not about crying to God for help, but crying out so that God will hear him and see how good he's being and follow through and reward that. Sometimes we want to cry just to show to God, "Hey, look at me, I'm crying here." Instead of talking to God, instead of crying out to him. Now, what kind of relationship God wants to have with us? We only talk about him or of him, but never to him. It is like trying to appease God to fix the situation rather than crying to God personally for deliverance. In Job 1:22, we read, "In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." In Job 2:10, we read, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." In Job 3:3-5, we read, he is wishing dead, writing a love letter to death, and still talking of God and not to God. If you read chapter 3 of Job, verse 3-5, is a love letter to death. He's still not talking to God. Proverbs 8:36 says, "All who hate me love death," or in Hebrew, skulls. All who hate me love death. Bible teaches God is life. John 14:6 and John 17:3. God says in Proverbs 8:36, all who hate me love death. And Job, he's talking about writing like a love letter to death because he's suffering. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. I am life, Jesus said. He didn't say, I am death. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, according to John 17:3. Job will not openly speak what he feels in his heart towards God. Why? Admit it. Why? Why we don't speak directly to God sometimes? Who are we waiting for? To speak for us? We need other people to pray for us, but we don't talk to God ourselves. How many Christians I've heard coming to me and say, pray for me. I say, okay, brother, okay, sister. Have you prayed already for yourself? Oh, no. Why not? Pray for yourself first before you ask other people to pray for you. What kind of relationship we can have with a good God, a loving God who loves life, if we don't talk to him? Job will not openly speak what he feels in his heart towards God. For him, following God was not a relationship, but was a formula. And for most of us is. Good God plus good works equal the good life. So, there is good God plus good works is equal the good life. This is a formula that Job was using, and this is a formula most Christians today, I must admit, they use. As long as he did his part, God was expected and supposed to do his part. So I do my part, and the Lord will do his part. That's Job's philosophy or theology. It was all about Job. God became a means to an end. As if he's using God to get the things he really wants and not God himself. Using God to get what we want, but we don't want the giver. We just want what he gives. Job does not openly say what is in his heart. He finally starts to admit what he feels. He finally admits that the formula isn't working. It is broken. He realized that formula was broken, finally. And thank God he realized that. He initially doesn't cry out to God, but eventually he did. And God was trying to get him there. His friends continually telling him to use the formula and thought that Job has changed the formula. Good God plus bad works equal a bad life. So he has to do good works again to get back God's favor. That's what his friends also thought. You know, people of like-mindedness, they hang around each other. They all have the same philosophy and theology, unfortunately. Very similar, but not identical to the prosperity gospel in this day and age. You can read about that in Job 22. It's like you're reading about prosperity gospel. Do good, receive good. Do bad, you receive bad. That kind of theology didn't work for Job. Didn't work for Job's friends. It's not going to work for us today either. This is very similar, but not identical to the prosperity gospel formula. People tend to hang out with other like-minded people. Job did think like his friends. All the same, before this happened to him, we tend to draw closer to people we think more like. In Job 29, There is confession of all his good works. In Job 31, he denies of having done anything wrong. Nothing in his bragging list mentions anything about his faith in God or firm trust in him. His mindset is accurate. It reflected a mindset of justification by works. If anybody could have boasted in the law, it was Job. He had become his own God and thought he was earning all that he had. That's what he thought. He thought, I'm earning all I have. Job had a warped view of God. As long as Job played by the rules, God was expected to bless him. It wasn't about a personal relationship with God that he thought was blessing him. So his moral deeds, he thought that he was blessing him, not God. He was lost in moralism. The idea that one can earn their way into God's grace and blessings through moral deeds. I remember a few years ago, I went to Toronto with my wife and visiting a friend who bought a new house. And this Christian friend used to live in a very humble little house, and all of a sudden they bought a bigger house in a better neighborhood with swimming pool and all that. And those of you who know the market value in Toronto about houses is very, very high. So I knew that by selling his little house, there was no way on earth he could have bought that big house with a swimming pool in a better neighborhood. But I was happy for him. And when we got to the new house, I said, hey, this is a real nice, cool house. You have more space here, more room, swimming pool, backyard, nice. It's a great house. Congratulations, you know. He turned around and shocked me by saying something. I almost cried inside. He said, oh, you know what? Because I've been good to God, so God is good to me. A Christian would say that. Like he earned that blessing because he was good to God, and God is rewarding him because he was good to him. Where is grace? So every time we receive blessing is because we were good to God. What about the time we are not receiving blessing? Because we were bad to God? That theology is even wrong today. And it was also wrong at the time of Job. He thought his good deeds were blessing him. Job had his faith in the rule of God, but at last he began tremblingly to exercise faith in the God who rules. That's a transfer that many of us need to come to. So he had a warped idea of God. The second point is, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Psalm 139, verse 4. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. God knows everything. Job 1, verse 8 to 12, you can read that. God knows everything. The book of Judges is an interesting book in the Bible. It teaches us that the people turn from God. You can read that in verses chapter 3, verse 7. Then God judges by delivering the people to their enemies, verse 8. And then people turn back to God, verse 9. God then sends a judge to rescue the people, verse 9 and 10. a period of peace under the judge, verse 11. And then the people turn from God, the cycle of judges. So it works like this. People turn away from God. Then God judges by delivering the people to their enemies. Then they turn back to God. God gives them a judge to rescue them. And then a period of peace under the judge goes on. And then people again turn from God. And this cycle goes on and on and on. One judge after another judge after another judge after another judge. When we decide to stop walking with God, God gives us over to idols we worship and stop walking with us. Because they refuse to love the truth, Paul says, and so be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 and 12. Okay, so that's the way God deals with unbelievers. What about the believers that they fall away? Yes, the unbelievers get a delusion and they stay in their lies that they believe because they resist God's truth. That I understand. But what about the believers that they keep saying, Lord, Lord? The Bible clearly teaches if we reject God, He will let us reject Him and give us over to someone else. Following God is about relationship. If we outright reject that relationship, God lets us go. The Jews in the book of Judges, they don't completely reject God. They just fall away from Him for a time. So God doesn't send them a delusion to believe, as in the case of non-believers, but lets the evil happen to them that they were chasing after, so they will realize the error of their ways and come back to Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. Hebrews 12:6. So we have two groups of people here. We have to those who reject God, God gives them a delusion they want so they can go their own way. And to those who want to follow God but lost their ways, God will allow suffering to hit us so we will learn from it and come back to God. But is this how God operates all the time? Nope. So, we have two kind of people here. We have moralists that they believe in good works. Some they could be even Christian. Some they don't have to be Christian. But they believe in good morals. And when you talk to them about Jesus, apparently, even those who are extremely polite, they tell you that, well, I'm a good person. I do good things. Apparently, it's like the subtitle is this, I don't need your Jesus. I'm a good person. I do good things. One even recently told my wife that. I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus. What's hedonism? Hedonism is the idea that one rejects God for worldly life and pleasures. Almost all of us were hedonists before we came to Christ. We lived for our pleasures. We lived for ourselves. We were selfish. We didn't care for other people. Most of us, before coming to Christ, were hedonists. Or moralist. The good ones were moralists and the bad ones were hedonists. Jesus taught that even though that is bad, which one? Hedonism. There is a far more detrimental way to rebel against God, and that is to become self-righteous moralist. The idea that one can earn their way into God's grace and blessings through moral deeds. Being self-righteous. In Luke 15:25, when we read in the story of prodigal son, the older son and the younger one are both prodigals. One hedonist, the younger, who left the father and went for his pleasures. The other, moralist, the older son. You know why they're both prodigal? Because one gave himself to hedonism, the other one gave himself to moralism. Look, the older son says to the father, is using God to get the things he really wants, not using the things he has to love God. Like the younger brother, it was all about him with his good deeds for his father. More destructive way, since he doesn't realize that, unlike the younger who realizes that and comes back in repentance. I've seen people who hit rock bottom come closer to Jesus and they accept Jesus than those who think they are good enough. They don't need anyone to save them. So in the story of prodigal sons, both are prodigals. One is after hedonism, one is after moralism. Neither one has a relationship with the Father. It is harder for a moralist to realize they are prodigal than it is for hedonists. The moralist looks at his work and says, look at all I did for God. God owes me now. I have not gone out from him like those sinners. I have earned this. And when you have that mentality, it is extremely hard to see yourself just as lost as the younger son. The ones who don't see themselves as lost, but believe they have earned grace and blessings, are in far more danger of being lost in themselves. Job has the same mentality. He has turned to himself and to his works. I earned all this because I did the right prayers. I lived the right life. It was all done because I worked the system perfectly. And God says, no, you haven't. You have left me and chased after your desires. So I'll give you over to the father of greed, whom you truly follow. God gave Job over to Satan to get him to realize he was lost in himself, in his own righteousness, and not in God's righteousness and love. He became a moralist and was just as prodigal as the hedonist. Third point. Job has a deep and important message for believers today. Jesus didn't come to convict hedonists and praise moralists. He came to convict both sides. The world view is, be a moralist, not a hedonist, which they are both wrong. According to our Lord, both sides are prodigal and lost in pride. Just in different ways. Both need to come to repentance. The hedonists say that the trouble with the world today is because of the moralists. And the moralists blame the hedonists for the trouble with the world today. Each one blames the other group. Jesus had a harsher message for those lost in moralism than those lost in hedonism. You can read about it in Matthew 23, verse 25 to 27. I read it for you. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, then the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23, verse 25 to 27. What Jesus is saying is that although the moralists may appear to be following God, they are really rejecting him and assuming their moral deeds will save them. That very attitude means you are living for yourself, just like one in hedonism. This is far more dangerous for our souls than living in hedonism. A moralist fills himself constantly with self-righteousness, not needing God. He doesn't think he needs a savior. He says to himself, this world would be better off if more people were like me. Moralists don't think they need grace or Jesus to rescue them. Clearly, they assume they are already doing God's work. They get lost in the cycle of pride and self-worth. In Romans 2:11, we read, for there is no partiality with God. We often compare ourselves with the hedonists and say, well, I'm better than them, so I'm safe. But in actuality, we are lost in pride and self-worth. It is so easy to switch our focus away from Christ to the works we do. This is why moralism is far worse than hedonism. Moralism is such a poison that God has to go to unbelievable length to save Job from it. It is more destructive for the soul than hedonism could ever be. In Matthew 15:14, we read, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. What Job shows us is that if we fall into moralism, we have actually distanced ourselves far more from God than we even suspect. I don't know if you're familiar with C.S. Lewis. In his book, Mere Christianity, he says, and I quote, the sins of the flesh are bad, but they are the least bad of all sins. All the worst pleasures are purely spiritual. The pleasure of putting other people in the wrong, of bossing and patronizing and spoiling sport and backbiting, the pleasures of power, of hatred, for there are two things inside me competing with the human self, which I must try to become. They are the animal self and the diabolical. The diabolical self is the worst of the two. That is why a cold, self-righteous person who goes regularly to church may be far nearer to hell than a prostitute. But of course, it is better to be neither. This was from Mere Christianity, page 103. It is far easier to see yourself as a sinner who needs grace in hedonism than it is in moralism. Moralists need to realize they are prideful fools who look down on others and worship themselves. For Christians, those who truly want to see God and not absolute moralism, we can rest on the assurance that if we are lost and need to be put back on the right path, God will show up in our lives to do whatever it takes to get us there. In Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son who him whom he receives. So who is God and who is Job? God was not upset about the action of accusing God, but the motive behind it. Just like God doesn't only want good actions, but also right motives behind them. God wants Job to realize that he is personal, active, and not some robotic genie ready to grant wishes and bend to our desires. Finally, in chapter 42, Job gets it. In chapter 42, verse 2 to 6, Job finally gets it. Job finally realizes that it was God who blessed him out of love and not because Job had earned it. God is a being of love and personality who knows what is best for us and will do whatever it takes to get us there. Job was lost in his own moralism. Job's friends thought that he was serving out a punishment because of some particular sin. Satan was also, as usual, wrong here. He thought that Job had never loved God and built his identity on his wealth and health. God knew that Job didn't build his true identity on things. He had only lost his way and began to focus on how he thought he was able to obtain things. Job had turned to his own moral goodness. And by God allowing his things to be taken, God could use that to wake Job up. The whole time God was in full control and Satan was on a tight leash. God gave enough room to Satan to hang himself. Satan wanted to destroy Job. God used it to benefit Job. Satan thought Job worshipped his possessions. God knew Job, his servant, had lost his way. He would use this to bring Job back to himself. Don't go away with the idea here that suffering you may face is only about you. God uses your experiences to help others. Don't think this is how God will always respond to moralism. God is not a formula that can be tricked. Don't box him in. Good God plus moralism equal a Job situation. The trial we face will not always be the same or for the same reasons. We are wired differently. Don't try to box God in. God wants Job at the end to show grace for his friends and atone for them. God is not against good deeds, but it is equally important to have the right motives behind them to carry out our good actions. Are you doing the good to appease God in an attempt to earn his favor? Or we seek repentance to get closer to God? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 7, 21, 23. God doesn't want our works. He wants us and then wants to work together with us. God sees the bigger picture of our suffering and he's going to bring good out of this. Not just for ourselves, but others as well. It is not about following rules to be good. It is about doing the right thing, even if it goes against the so-called rules. It is not about rules, but doing the right thing and letting rules follow from that. All you have is by the grace of God. It is about relationships, not rules. It is about love, not earning acceptance from God. So the questions we Christians can ask ourselves, what rules has our society set up that we think we need to follow, but is actually going against the truth of the gospel? We must eschew the mindless philosophy, my country, my right or wrong, my culture. No human institution can take the place of God. We must all make up our own minds as to where we draw the line. Do we protect the Word of God? Do we worship Him for Himself? Do we protest at abortion clinics? Do parents send their children to public school, though they will be taught how to be immoral? Do Christian students fall in line with the university's politically correct policy? I don't know about you, but I no longer have to strive for perfection because Christ is my perfection. Even though I don't always like it, His grace is sufficient, and I would be foolish to disagree. May God bless you all.